all hail the number one team in college basketball. That's not an opinion. That's not just because I got it on the shirt. Like, every objective measure you could take, you can't make an argument for anybody else.
Sure.
You can't.
Sure.
You can't. The biggest game in SEC regular season basketball history. The biggest regular season game in Auburn basketball history that didn't win a championship.
Sure.
And Auburn wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Auburn wins. And wins convincingly. You know, you don't always have to win by 30 to win convincingly.
Now hold on, Brad. There's a lot of folks on the internet saying that it was toe-to-toe, wire-to-wire throughout.
Auburn led wire-to-wire. And there were some times that Alabama tied it, got close, got within one possession. It was a heavyweight fight. I mean, it was punch counter punch.
No question. And I think Alabama is the number two team. There's certainly an argument for number two. Unlike number one, there's no argument for number one. I do think there's an argument for several teams.
Yes.
At number two. And
Alabama's one of them.
If I was a poll voter, I would put Auburn one, Alabama two, Florida three. That's just how I would sit it. Right now, I think a lot of people disagree, whatever, but that's just my opinion. I don't think you can hurt Alabama for Auburn going into their house and beating them, much like it didn't really hurt Auburn when Florida went into Neville and won. And also, Alabama and Florida, they're gonna have plenty of opportunities to kind of stamp their name next to that number two mark over the next few weeks. But still, to me, like it was a heavyweight fight.
Yeah,
and 5 or 6 minutes left to go in the game when they were exchanging threes and exchanging fast breaks. And it's like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I'm miserable watching this in real time. But now that it's over, now that it's done and we can look back on it, it's like, what a spectacle. I mean, the rest of the college basketball world was looking at Tuscaloosa because this game was historic and had major implications and all of that. And it's like, boy, did it deliver. Boy, did it deliver. I mean, how many times do we hype up a mega game like this and it's like, all right. No, this one certainly delivered. But one thing, and I'm actually a little surprised you didn't lead with this.
Okay.
I mean, last week was the greatest run in the history of the coaches poll. What a stretch. What a week for the coaches poll.
Sure.
And may the coaches poll never be forgotten.
Yeah. You think it'll be back today? You think we'll be talking about the coaches poll the rest of this week?
I got a weird feeling the coaches poll won't be referred to again.
It's a great
this
point.
Season.
There you go. You know what happened to the coaches poll? It got swatted into the third row of baseline big dollar seats, as if Chad Baker Mazzara came up from behind and swatted it in there.
Sure.
So I sent to you and two others before the game.
Okay.
A few thoughts about what might happen in the game.
Do I need to pull it up?
No, I got it.
You have it because I don't remember what you said.
Okay. I said, just because Alabama's the home team and playing well doesn't mean they'll win.
Okay. That's true.
That's fine. That
proved to be true. Yep.
I said, Alabama's SEC loss is at home. Auburn hasn't lost on the road in the SEC.
Okay. Don't think that was relevant, but that's still.
Sure, it was relevant.
Okay.
It means I'll tell you why it's relevant is because some put this air of invincibility anytime Alabama's good at a sport, and then you go into their place and play. Some people try to put on them this cloak of invincibility, and it's not real, it's perceived. And so I was just reminding
you. We do that too, though.
What do you mean we do that too, though?
I mean, we talk about how big of a home field or home court advantage Neville is, and it is, but still Florida went in there and won.
Yeah.
We football, and like, we're not even like, we haven't even been that good. We're still like, Jordan-Hare, who knows? Anything can happen in Jordan-Hare. Like, I don't know. I feel like we do that too.
All I said, though, was we haven't lost on the road in the SEC,
which is still factually correct.
Factually correct, right.
It's not all you said, though. But that part is true.
Number three, I said Broome is the best player in the country. And I want to stop there for a minute. Give him the dang award right now.
He's not going to get it. He should. He absolutely should. But the Cooper flag show It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, we've done like two or three shows on this already.
I know. Jahni Broome, what he did in Tuscaloosa. I don't know what Cooper Flagg did against Stanford. I know what Jahni would have done against Stanford.
Yeah.
I also know what Jahni did against Alabama on about 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Against Alabama, 19 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. And I'm telling you, just as confidently as I'm sitting here right now drinking my Powerade and emergency elixir, Jahni could have had 30 points if he had moved toward the basket instead of away from the basket on most of his shots.
Sure.
Some wild shots. He wasn't going to be stopped, Zach.
No, he was fantastic. He was phenomenal. And in the big games, that's where you see him the most. I mean, you see him in every game, but yeah, yeah. I feel like you see him in all of these mega, mega games. And that's something we talked about. It's like, we need to see Jahni Broome. We need to see Chad Baker-Mazzara. They've been in somewhat of a little bit of a slump, to Jahni's standards, a slump. He still, his statistics were still solid. Chad's were not until, you know, he got things going, obviously, on Saturday. Even got, I guess, some wealthy Bama fans to yell at him and turn themselves into memes. I mean, that was just, that's electric. That's electric. Just the troll job that Chad Baker-Mazzara is able to do. It's just, it's limitless. It's boundless. And so, I absolutely adore every step of it. But just looking at the betting lines, just real quick for the, you know, the John Wooden Award, the Player of the Year Award.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg -155 is the betting odds. Jahni Broome is +115. Like, and then it's a massive drop off to you get to Jaden Smith at Purdue at +12,000, which is an insane drop, But Jahni's right behind, but I just have a hard time. I have a hard time seeing them not give it to Cooper Flagg. I think as soon as Jahni Broome missed some time,
okay,
it's like, okay, that's it. It's done. It's done. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong. I think Jahni Broome is the best college basketball player in the country, and I think there's a gap until you get to Cooper. But Cooper's the number one pick. Cooper plays at Duke.
Yeah.
And they're putting all of his games on national television, and it's just... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's an entirely fair fight, if I'm being honest.
Well, no, you're from the media angle, yes, you're correct. If we're going on merit, but look, Jahni plays at Auburn. That's not a detriment to him anymore. Shouldn't be a detriment to him anymore at this point, given what Auburn's program has done. They're the SEC leader. They're the number one team in the country, and he's helped get them there. That could stand for something, or that should stand for something. So
it should. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. It should.
Cooper had 19 points and 5 rebounds and 6 assists in their 36 point win over Stanford. So he went off for a double figure scoring game against Stanford.
Wow.
Cool. Cool. Jahni had 19, 14, and 6 at Alabama. Give him the dang award.
Yeah. Cooper goes off against Stanford, but you don't see Stanford's quarterback transferring to Duke. He transferred to Auburn.
That's true.
That's actually correct.
You're right. You know what you're talking about. That's good. All right. Here was another point that I thought was going to be big in this game.
Okay.
I said Miles Kelly plays well on the road. He's capable of getting long rebounds off missed threes.
And
they missed a lot of threes. They missed 21 of their 26 threes. Miles Kelly finished the game with 15 points and 8 rebounds. The 8 rebounds were his second most on the season.
How about that? Good call by you.
And then I said, Tahad Pettiford is him as a freshman. He will not wilt under the pressure.
No,
here's the highlight of the game.
He thrives.
Not only did he not wilt, he stood up and said, this game's mine. I will take it now. And you 14,000 people can sit down because I'm taking over.
I think there's like 7 minutes left to go in the game. And Bama tied it. I think it was 63 all. And Tahad just goes down the floor like 3 seconds into the shot clock and just pops one from deep. And it was just a no-doubter. It was like, oh, that's going in.
Yeah.
It's just the dude is nails.
Nails.
Absolutely rock solid. So, Tahad Pettiford is him. No question.
And then they go down and hit a three. And then Chad Baker-Mazzara comes down and hits a three. And that's the stretch you were talking about where it was.
What else do you want?
Yeah.
What else do you want? It's incredible. You know, two heavyweights just, you know, knocking the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
Really good.
Awesome stuff.
Both teams can still win the SEC. Both teams can still win the tournament. Both teams can still win the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But for that day, for that 3 hours that felt like 26 hours, it was so much fun. So much fun to see that basketball game and then for it to turn out the way that it did. I've got a question about narratives, but before I go down that road, I want to talk about a clothing narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can look nice without being uncomfortable.
Right.
Without spending full price on things. That's a narrative that needs to go away. Roback.com has you covered, R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com, with all the quarter zips you could ask for, with all of the collared shirts and the different patterns and designs you could ask for. They've even got a collegiate line. Was at the baseball game yesterday, met a buddy of mine, and he had one of the performance hoodies, a Roback performance hoodie, with an obby in the middle of it. I'm like, I hadn't seen that. That looks great. He's like, yeah, dude, I used y'all's code. Actually, I use promo code VICE 20 for 20% off. And I'm like, thank you, Adam. Thank you for doing that. Shout out to Adam. All the Adams out there. Just don't take our word for it. Head over to roback.com, R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. Use promo code VICE 20 to get 20% off your order.
All right. If I told you there was controversy or discontent stemming from the basketball game, if I said, well, somebody acted up during the game. Who would you assume?
I would assume a Bama player threw a bottle on the court.
Okay.
Or a Bama fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're logical.
Uh-huh.
I'm not seeing people talk about this very much. I'm seeing people take the very easy, lazy, low-hanging approach and talk about Chad Baker-Mazzara and the fan. But I'm not seeing a lot of people quick to point out that he was pushed. And that's why he turned around and said something.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It's not like, guy, come on now. Let's be smart about this. Let's understand. Let's don't take the easy, lazy, low-hanging fruit. He was pushed. Let's point that out. Doesn't matter who's sitting in the seat. Don't push a player. Okay. Sure. And then we're also not talking enough about the fact that the Alabama basketball coach had to get on the microphone and tell the fans not to throw stuff on the floor.
I mean, that's absurd. That's not crazy.
Throw stuff on the floor during a game. Full cans. What are we doing? Hey, I know it's look, can we not control? Can we not regulate our emotions? It's been hot inside Neville Arena. People get upset with opposing teams and referees. And I mean, it's contentious. People don't throw stuff on the floor.
Right.
It's never Auburn you hear about their fans acting this way, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Nate Oates had to get on a microphone and say, quit throwing things on the floor. You're costing us points.
How many times Bruce had to do that?
To my knowledge, he's never had to do it.
Zero.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
I mean, they can keep doing it. I don't care. Well, but it's like, in fact, like, don't stop. I think it's awesome that they did it.
Yeah.
But goodness gracious. Let's keep talking
about it. Let's not just kind of sweep that to the side like it didn't happen.
Yeah, there are a few things. And a lot of that had to do with the TV broadcast, Brad. I mean, it was so like, I like Jay Billis. But like Jay Billis really wanted Alabama to win that game.
Did you think so, really? Did you think he and Shulman were bad?
Shulman for sure. Shulman 100%. Billis was more so, I think, reacting to what Shulman said most of the time. But a few of the comments he made, it was just like, I was shocked because I really like Jay Billis. And I think he's one of the best in the space. And I was just so surprised.
Yeah.
I was so surprised by all of it.
Hmm. See, I think Shulman's one of the best, too. I think that's an A-plus crew. And I've gone back and I've watched some. I haven't sit down focused all the way through watching.
Yeah.
I will, but I haven't yet. So I didn't see anything that just jumped out at me, but I'll watch through that lens and, you know,
Yeah, let me know what you think. Let me know if me and I guess most of the Auburn fan base is overreacting to that. Because I mean, I also imagine the experience would be different after the fact. Because like during it, it's, you know, there's so much emotion. Like if you're watching it back, like, you know, we win, you know, it's a huge win and all that. So I do imagine it's probably some of the things that are said are weighted differently. There's something I want to talk to you about. When you look at Auburn's schedule, remaining schedule, the last six games.
Yep.
Pretty manageable.
Yeah.
Three straight at home. Auburn should be favored in some of those by double digits, I would think, at home. They'll be favored in all three of these games.
Yeah.
Arkansas on Wednesday, Georgia the following Saturday, Ole Miss the following Wednesday. They've already played Georgia and Ole Miss on the road. They've won. You got to feel good about, you know, okay, if you can beat them on the road, you can beat them at home. I don't think Georgia's as good as they were a few weeks ago. Ole Miss, I do think, looks a little bit more vulnerable than when Auburn played them.
Well, I didn't see them losing to Mississippi State, especially after they had a 10-point lead early. Yeah,
I didn't either. I actually didn't even know they had a 10-point lead. I just saw that they lost. But I do think Arkansas Wednesday night's a little tricky.
Yep.
And we can talk about that maybe another time. But then they go at Kentucky, at A&M, then Bama at home. And, of course, you know, Bama similar to the Georgia and Ole Miss. Auburn's already beaten them on the road. Obviously, those last three are tricky, and any game in the SEC is tough. I'm not downplaying any of these. But when you look at the team that's kind of breathing down your neck, which you got some separation, some space, because you just beat them in Tuscaloosa. But when you look at Bama, they go to Missouri on Wednesday.
That's tough.
They host Kentucky.
Yep.
They host Mississippi State.
Okay.
They go to Tennessee. They host Florida, then they go to Auburn. Like, that's just insane.
Four losable games.
Legitimately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, and that doesn't mean that, like, anyone's bad, but, like, nobody, like, I don't think anybody's going 6-0 in that stretch.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
That's brutal.
That's a tough. When the two easiest games on that list are at home against Kentucky and at home against
Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's a tough stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Auburn's stretch isn't easy. Those last three are a grind to go to Kentucky. Like, if I ask you to rank Auburn's last six games from easiest to hardest, how would you rank them?
Easiest to hardest.
Yeah, and easiest is in quotations.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
I'd probably go Georgia.
Georgia, Arkansas, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Kentucky, Bama, A&M.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I think I put Alabama. I go Alabama, A&M, Kentucky.
Just because of the home factor.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. If you switch it, if it's at Alabama and at home against Kentucky and A&M, then it's a very different ranking.
You have A&M being tougher than Kentucky?
No, I have Kentucky being tougher than A&M.
What's the logic there? Because most people, I think, would agree with you, and I don't get it.
So Auburn hasn't won at Kentucky since 1988.
You think Jahni Broom and Chad Baker Mazzara care about that?
I don't think other really good Auburn players that have played teams that they should have beaten in Lexington in the past cared about it either.
I don't know, it's like the whole LSU like winning in Baton Rouge thing. I just don't think.
I know.
Like, none of these players were born when, you know, last time or whatever. And it's like, I don't know if that matters. I think it's just like,
it's
historically, Kentucky has had a better basketball team than us. Yeah. And they don't this year.
Yeah, but not every time. Not every time.
But most times.
In the last decade.
But most times.
Sure. Okay. But, like, even some of those teams in, like, even the 99 team, the number ones, you know, one seed in the NCAA tournament and the SEC regular season champion, they weren't close. Weren't close in Lexington.
Seems like Buzz always gives Bruce problems. Even when we win, it's ugly and it's brutal and it's miserable throughout.
Yeah, we're splitting hairs. Like, I mean, I don't think A&M's an easy game there. I mean, I just...
Sure. Once again, I understand, like, none of these are like easy games, but some are definitely more manageable than others. I just think the way we talk about the SEC, it's just like, man, we've got so many Final Four contenders with Auburn and Bama and Florida and then in Tennessee. And then it, like, seems to skip A&M and go to the dark horses. It's like an Ole Miss can make a run. Mississippi State's starting to get better. And it's like A&M's a top 10 team.
They are.
And they're not discussed or viewed as if they're a top 10 team.
That's
and
true.
I don't want that to bite us.
They're an actual blue-collar basketball team.
Yeah, they'll beat the crap out of you.
They're not scoring 105 points a game and taking 33s and playing a finesse game. Like, that's not
old school, not physical. And those are kind of the teams that sometimes trip us up.
Sure. Yeah, because they challenge you to be as physical as they are. Like, if you talk about dictating the tempo of a game and the pace of play, all right, let's run up and down the floor and see who's better condition. Everybody's in great condition. Let's do that.
Right.
Don't make me get into a slugfest. I don't want that. I don't.
And I think Auburn can be physical.
Yeah.
I don't think they could be physical for 40 minutes without fouling.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, you know, the Tennessee game was kind of like, I could see A&M going very similar to the way the Tennessee game went.
I agree. I'd actually be surprised if it wasn't like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
What do you think? Rank the next six. Hey, Auburn got a commitment, by the way, too. Got a basketball commitment, too.
Yes, Abdul Bashir. Very, very long. Very, very talented. Very, very good shooter. Plays at Casper College, which I guess is in Wyoming. Was unaware. Yeah, shooting like 37% from three. And then I read somewhere that he shot like 40% the year prior to that at Casper. So
Auburn saw his brother earlier this year too, when Monmouth came to town.
Monmouth. Yeah, that's right. So I think this is, a guy that, several other top programs wanted, and he visited Auburn a week ago. And I guess that's all he needed to see, especially after what Auburn did, to Alabama on Saturday. So Auburn's in a spot where they're about to lose a lot of guys, and they've got some dudes who can come back now because of this JUCO ruling, which is super exciting. But there's going to be a lot of roster turnover this offseason just because of graduation and the NBA draft. So we'll see who all stays and who all leaves. But they've got now four talented guys in this class, and I think that's a really good starting point because you're going to have a nice balance of returning guys, of guys that you got through the recruiting ranks, and then, you know, guys that you're going to have to obviously get through the transfer portal.
There you go. It was a good weekend all the way around, too. Like, softball went down to Florida and won a bunch of games and beat a top 10 team. Women's tennis is a top 5 team. Like, there's some pretty cool stuff going on. You went to baseball. They set an attendance record at Plainsman Park for a 3-game series and a single game attendance record Friday night. There's a lot of cool stuff going on right now.
The ballpark looks great.
Ballpark looks great.
I mean, the Plainsman Park upgrades are awesome. My kids were all over the place. So, like, they've really catered it more towards general admission. And when you have small kids like I do, that aren't particularly interested in the game, just want to run around, like, that has been nice. That was super nice to see on Sunday, especially with the Tiger Terrace. They've opened up the Tiger Terrace. They moved a lot of that space was taken up by vending and some concessions, and they've like moved them outside of the park, kind of in between the Tiger Terrace, which is on the third baseline.
I'm glad the parking deck. Yeah, I'm glad that you're bringing that up, and then you're making that point that way, that they've enhanced really the value of a general admission ticket, because when you see some of these new spaces go up, you go, oh, well, it's premium. Well, premium is needed, but that's not all that they did. They really have expanded the value of a GA ticket.
Yes. Yeah. Especially for like families and stuff. When you've got kids, get general admission tickets. Like don't spend the extra. I mean, my kids aren't at a spot where they're going to stay for a full 9 innings anyway. So like, yeah, the general admission is definitely the way to go right now.
All right.
And that's how you get up on the monster. That's how you get up on the wall. Like, all that is just general admission. And they've got a bunch of like seating next to the concessions by, you know, the first baseline, that and plenty of standing room. And they did a great job, Brad. They did a really good job. The ballpark looks great.
Did you go up to the War Eagle Wall? Did you go up there?
I went up there for the tour when they did the media tour on Thursday.
Not when you were there with your family. Y'all didn't go up there.
No.
Okay.
Right. I was afraid my kids would try to jump off or something.
Okay. Maybe next time.
I think that's what they call a business decision. This isn't worth it.
Right. All right. Well, we will talk more about the first weekend. If you want more baseball talk, we've got the Barn Baseball Show on this same YouTube channel. So if you're not subscribed to it yet, go ahead and click that subscribe button. You'll get notified. There's the logo. It's terrific. And tune in for that. Sonny DeShera and Lindsey Crosby and I will kind of break down last weekend and look ahead.
Does that go up today, Brad?
I think goes up tomorrow.
Okay.
I think Tuesday.
Got it. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, be sure to check that out. So why do you mix the emergency with the Powerade?
Because emergency is horrible on its own. Tastes terrible on its own.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it is.
You think?
Yeah, because I started out trying to take it on its own.
And the Powerade makes it better?
Makes it a little better. Makes
Take
it a little
sip
more
of it again real quick. I want to see how you truly react to it.
Gosh.
Show me the color. Show me the color that it makes.
It is a nice green color because it's blue Powerade with emergency.
Okay. That's a nice swig right there.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like you enjoyed it, though.
I enjoyed it more than I did before the Powerade.
Why don't you just mix it with less water and just take it like a shot?
It's not a bad idea. But you're supposed to drink a whole lot of fluids anyway, so I figure.
Sure.
In my mind, this spaces it out more. It's like a slow release effect.
Got it.
I don't know if that's not, that may be dumb. People in the medical profession watching.
Can somebody scientifically prove that or disprove that in the comments down below, please? Genuinely interested.
Yeah.
Brad will see it.
Sure, I will. I'll read it.
All right. That does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.